Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to today's episode of Baby Boomer's Guide to Life in the 21st Century. Our guest today on Nostalgia Town is John Bell. John Bell, AO and OBE, is an Australian actor, theatre director and theatre manager. He's been a major influence on the development of Australian theatre since, well, the late 60s. Is that not right, John?
That's correct, Jeff. Very nice to talk to you.
You worked at the Old Tote Theatre. You spent 5 years with the Royal Shakespeare Company, and in the 70s you taught at NIDA. In 2017, John Bell, you were seen in an excellent production called The Father by Florian Zeller at Sydney Theatre Company, and more recently you will be performing in The Miser at the Sydney Opera House in March to April at the Canberra Theatre Centre in April from the 11th to the 20th, and the Arts Centre in Melbourne from the 25th of April till the 12th of May 2019. John, what were your formative cultural experiences? Theatre, music, movies?
Well, Jeff, I grew up in Maitland in the Hunter Valley, and it was not a great cultural hub, I must say, in those days. But from a very early age, I was taken to the theatre and the movies by my mother and my grandmother and my aunts. So my earliest memories of theatre are the Sawley's Travelling Tent Show with a wonderful actor named Bobby LeBrun, who played the pantomime dame in the pantomimes in the afternoon. And in the evenings, you would don the bow tie and glittery jacket and be the MC for the cabaret. And he was my first hero. From the age of about 4 or 5, I was taken to see every pantomime that he was in, playing the dame. And I remember all those routines and the slapstick and and the gags right to today. He was a great influence on me. A little later, my grandmother used to take me to the cinema to see every pirate and cowboy movie that came to town. She hated them. She didn't like violence, but she sat through them for my sake, and so I saw a lot of movies that little boys like to see. Really, it was when I went to high school in Maitland to the Marist Brothers that I discovered literature and Shakespeare, and that has been the formative influence on my life. I had two wonderful English teachers. They both loved theatre and poetry and literature and, above all, Shakespeare. And they encouraged me in my ambition to be an actor. And without them, I wouldn't have got to where I am today. So I'm very grateful for the education they gave me and for the introduction to Shakespeare above everything else.
It's not the experience of every Australian school kid to enjoy Shakespeare, but clearly it had a powerful effect on you.
It was a wonderful experience, and it was up to those two teachers especially. They took us off to the cinema to see Laurence Olivier's movies of Hamlet and Henry V and Richard III, plus any live show that came to town with the Elizabethan Theatre Trust. And so to see Shakespeare live on stage and then on the screen, that shaped my life. And I vowed at the age of 14, I'm going to be an actor and I'm going to play Shakespeare for the rest of my life, which is virtually what I've done. And I've found Shakespeare to be the great artistic influence, and I'd say spiritual influence, on my life ever since.
Well, movies and theatre are an important part of your life. Was there room in your life also for things like popular music?
Music, I wasn't all that wrapped in pop music. But when I went to university, then I discovered classical music, and I became very, very keen on classical music and opera, which again has been one of the great loves of my life. And I'm a great collector of classical recordings. And of course, I have directed 3 operas for Opera Australia. I've done Madame Butterfly and Tosca and Carmen, which I really thoroughly enjoyed being part of those productions, part of the opera world. It's very different to any other world I've been in, but the scale of it and the excitement of hearing those great voices is unsurpassable. So classical music's been my other great joy throughout my life.
And you would have seen a great deal of change in theatre in the years that you've been involved.
I think the arts have changed a lot from when I was growing up. For one thing, there was not much Australian theatre happening. We had an occasional hit like The Summer of the 17th Doll, but they were very rare. Most of the theatre was imported. We were doing classical plays or the latest plays from the West End or Broadway, but there wasn't much in the way of Australian theatre. So when I came back from England, where I'd spent 5 years with the Royal Shakespeare Company. I taught at NIDA for a year, and then I established with a friend, Ken Haller, we established the Nimrod Theatre in Sydney, which I ran for 14 years, and that was largely to encourage new Australian writing. And we produced over 100 Australian plays, people like David Williamson and John Romerill and Alex Buzo. A lot of great Australian plays come out of that era. So my two great passions from my 30s onward have been classical theatre, Shakespeare on the one hand, and encouraging new Australian writing, new Australian theatre. So I've done a lot of Australian plays and musicals, etc., as well as the classical side. And I find the balance between those two things very, very fulfilling.
That's very encouraging. You said you've worked also with David Williamson, who's really well known for producing works such as Don's Party and The Club.
Well, David Williamson has been one of the great icons of Australian theatre since the 1970s. He started working with the Pram Factory and La Mama in Melbourne. Actually, I saw one of his plays, The Removalists, in Melbourne, and I brought that to Sydney and put it on at the Nimrod Theatre in King's Cross. And then it went off on a national tour. Then it went overseas, and then it was made into a movie. And Dave and I are still very, very close friends. And he's written over 80 plays now. And every year, the Ensemble Theatre in Sydney does his latest play. But of course, he's written screenplays for so many movies and so much theatre. He's probably been the biggest money earner for theatre companies. He's really bankrolled the Sydney Theatre Company for a good 12 years, I would say.
You mentioned there the Summer of the 17th Doll, which was probably regarded as one of Australia's first major theatrical events. But then we know that it was made into a film where the leads were played by American actors. That must have been very galling.
That was a dreadful thing. The greatest Australian play. It's a timeless piece, and it's a wonderful play. It still resonates. And to see it turn into a movie with all American or English actors putting on fake Australian accents was insufferable. Of course, that could never happen now. We have our own film industry, and there's no way you'd get a Hollywood or English actor to play those great Australian roles. So we have come of age. I think it all started in the theatre. The Pram Factory in Melbourne, the Nimrod in Sydney. These were the where all the new plays came from. And they in turn influenced our television industry and our film industry. And they could not have happened if it hadn't happened in the theatre first. It's very much like what happens on Broadway. You get a play starting off Broadway, it goes onto Broadway, then it becomes a big hit, becomes an international hit. But things always have to start small. And certainly Australian theatre started small in the 60s and 70s. But of course, we mustn't forget that there had been Australian theatre happen before then. The great entrepreneurs like J.C. Williamson and John Alden in the 19th century doing major works and touring them around the country. So Australia's had a long history of entertainment, whether it's the Tivoli and great comedians like Roy Rean and George Wallace and Gloria Dawn. We've had a fantastic history of theatre, and of course in classical music too. We produced Joan Sutherland, for instance, and a great number of classical artists and musicians, as well as movie stars and comedians.
Do you suppose we've successfully emerged from the cultural cringe then?
I think we almost have emerged from the cultural cringe, but not quite. People still say, this is a world-class play, or this is a world-class performance. You would never get an American or Englishman saying this is world-class. It betrays our cultural cringe still that we have to measure ourselves against that and say we are now world-class, or so-and-so is an Australian at heart. You know, we have to still remind ourselves that we are up there among the best.
And that may not change in a giant hurry. It's pretty deep in us. You were talking...
Jeff, I think it will change. It's changing all the time. It's changed an enormous amount in my 50 years in the theatre. It's changing all the time. I suppose one of the pities is that a lot of our talent goes straight to Hollywood or to England, and people don't know that people like Hugh Jackman or Cate Blanchett or Russell Crowe are Australians or New Zealanders. They think they're all Americans because they mostly act in American movies and put on American accents. So we do get subsumed somewhat into the international market, and I think our actors and artists don't get due recognition for who and what they really are.
And they do come back and they perform in live theatre in Australia. I know Hugo Weaving from time to time performs recently in The Life of Arturo Uy.
I think you're correct. Hugo did perform The Rise of Arturo Uy. Cate Blanchett, of course, performed a lot on stage in her tenure as head of the Sydney Theatre Company. So, yes, a lot of our actors from overseas do like to come back and perform here. We have to offer them the opportunity, of course, to let them do that. So we have to keep developing our local industry, whether it's film or television or stage, to entice these people to come back and, you know, declare who they are.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is a multimedia healthy ageing project, and you are an older man now, and yet you're very busy still. Age hasn't defeated you.
Well, I'm 78 as we speak, Jeff, so age hasn't defeated me yet. It's making an impression, I must say. I can't all the things I could have done 10, 20 years ago. But no, I think I don't take the word retirement seriously. I think one doesn't retire. You just go on doing what you like doing until no one wants you anymore. And I think one of the things about aging is to have something to do and something to look forward to and someone to love, someone to relate to. And we can always find those things. We can go out of our way to find things to do, create projects, engage with other people. That keeps you young. And I must say, in my profession, now being the grand old man of theatre, I mix with young people a lot, and that helps keep me young. Young writers, young directors, young actors, I'm working with them all the time. And so I have to keep adjusting myself to see the world through their eyes, which I think is a very healthy occupation.
So for you now, how important are your social connections?
I think our social connections are absolutely vital if we're going to live a happy old age. I have a very strong, close family with my two daughters and my grandchildren, as well as my siblings. So I've been fortunate in having a very large and happy family circle. But I do go out of my way to cultivate and keep in touch with old friends and to try and make new ones. I think that's absolutely important. And you can always join a book club or a choir or go to dancing classes or an amateur theatre society. There are all ways you can reach out and stay in touch with other people. Keep talking, keep listening, keep on your feet, keep active. I think all those things are absolutely vital. And some people, as they get older, tend to shrink into themselves and take refuge in their own little world. And I think that doesn't really help the aging process. I think it's all about, getting out there and getting among it for as long as you can.
Can you enjoy life as you age?
I think growing older can be very interesting and pleasurable. I think aging is something a little bit different. I think I equate aging with aches and pains and things you can't do anymore. And I don't think anybody would claim that that is fun. You've just got to live with it and cope with it and tolerate it and do the best you can. Stay fit, stay healthy, keep active, and admit to yourself you can't do the things you could have done 10, 20 years ago. That's aging. But growing older, which I think is a separate kind of activity altogether, I think can be Sawley's travelling tent show with a wonderful actor named Bobby LeBrun, who played the pantomime dame in the pantomimes in the afternoon, and in the evenings he would don the bow tie and glittery jacket and be the MC for the cabaret. And he was my first hero from the age of about 4 or 5. I was taken to see every pantomime that he was in, playing the dame. And I remember all those routines and the slapstick and and the gags right to today. He was a great influence on me. A little later, my grandmother used to take me to the cinema to see every pirate and cowboy movie that came to town. She hated them. She didn't like violence, but she sat through them for my sake. And so I saw a lot of movies that little boys like to see. Really, it was when I went to high school in Maitland to the Maoist brothers that I discovered literature and Shakespeare. And that has been the formative influence on my life. I had two wonderful English teachers. They both loved theatre and poetry and literature and, above all, Shakespeare. And they encouraged me in my ambition to be an actor. And without them, I wouldn't have got to where I am today. So I'm very grateful for the education they gave me and for the introduction to Shakespeare above everything else.
Well, it's not the experience of every Australian student to enjoy studying Shakespeare, but for you, it was quite powerful.
It was a wonderful experience, and it was up to those two teachers especially. They took us off to the cinema to see Laurence Olivier's movies of Hamlet and Henry V and Richard III, plus any live show that came to town with the Elizabethan Theatre Trust. And so to see Shakespeare live on stage and then on the screen, that shaped my life. And I vowed at the age of 14, I'm going to be an actor and I'm going to play Shakespeare for the rest of my life, which is virtually what I've done. And I've found Shakespeare to be the great artistic influence, and I'd say spiritual influence, on my life ever since.
Well, clearly theatre is very big in your life. Was there no room in your life for popular music,